Isn't it true that we live in a world today that is filled with warnings? Our cell phones can warn us about dozens of things. People have doorbells that can warn you when someone unexpected comes to your door, especially if you're not home. You can even respond to them and tell them, "What do you want?" You've seen it. There are weather radios that can alert you when storms come. And then phones come today already set to let you know when there's an amber alert. And it'll go wacko, especially at 2 a.m, when both of our phones go off. And it's like, "What?" And she'll say, "It's an amber alert." "Oh, okay." And pray that it's not nearby. So I believe it's especially important for us to examine the roots of this parable this morning from Jesus. They are deep in Jewish tradition, and that has forewarned thousands to be aware of the promise of the coming of the bridegroom. Now, in Jewish background, when someone is betrothed, as Mary and Joseph were, when the time comes, the one who calls the shots of the wedding are not the mother of the bride, not like today. It's the father of the groom. The father of the bridegroom, he calls the shots. The bridegroom is ready to the satisfaction of his father, and he lives in his father's house. And his father's house will become a place for the both of them to live. Only when that place is ready to the satisfaction of the bridegroom and his father, the father tells the bridegroom, "Go get it." Now, according to Jesus, Everybody has got to be ready to act. Jesus is the bridegroom. He has said, "I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also." John 14, 2 and 3. That he said to the apostles in the upper room on the night before he died. There will be a time when he comes, as Paul wrote in his letter to the Thessalonians, in power and great glory, with a trumpet blast to alert us that he is coming. As Jesus said, no one knows the hour or the day. And to speak Georgian to you, ain't that the truth? Jesus often referred to himself as the bridegroom. Let me give you some examples. John the Baptist's followers came up to him saying, "Why is it that we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" That's in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14. Jesus answered them with these words, "How can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he's with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast." Matthew 9, 14 and 15. In another parable in Matthew chapter 22, verse 2, Jesus spoke of the kingdom as being like a king making a marriage feast for his son. Just the mention of a bridegroom hints at Jesus as being the anointed one, the Messiah. Remember, here we are in Matthew 25. You know what's already taken place in Matthew 21? Palm Sunday. Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. So what's coming next? Very, very soon. Remember Matthew 21, now we're in Matthew 25. Very, very soon comes Calvary, comes the upper room, and then Jesus being taken and arrested. This is just days before Jesus is arrested, tried, brutally beaten unmercifully, and then crucified. Jesus, the Messiah, was at the forefront of those days ever since he arrived in Jerusalem. And you know what? The religious leaders were out to get him. This highlights the fact that the parable isn't just about the very end of time, the great and terrible day of the Lord, for which the world and the church still wait. Throughout his 3-year ministry, Jesus was ministering, taking care of his people, the people of Israel, and he did so as the anointed one of God, the Messiah. The people of Israel were the ones who were invited to the wedding feast. The people are divided in this parable between the wise who know Jesus and make sure they keep alert for his coming and the foolish who, just as Jesus illustrated in this parable, didn't have the oil. And so they wanted to rely on others. And Jesus wants to make sure that his followers are alert, are ready. He doesn't want to hear, "Open the door for us." In the parable today, he replied, "I tell you the truth, I don't know you." Jesus is challenging the world to be prepared and to not delay. What Jesus did was unique and decisive, forever changing the way the world is and how God relates to it. And so we need to be alert and be aware that the time is indeed coming. My dear friends, there is no time for excuses or hoping that we can rely on our friends to help provide for us when we have fallen short, like those five foolish bridesmaids who were expecting the five wise ones to help fill the gap and lend them their oil. How easy it is to stop paying attention to God's work and the demands needed and to end up being totally unprepared when the time comes. Each one of us has to have a plan to be ready. Each and every morning, each one of us has a routine, don't we? That we need to do before heading out to the house, out into the world. It might be taking meds that you need to take, or test blood sugar, or your cholesterol, and recording your results. Because of those results, you may have to take another medication. For some of it, it's not optional, and we can't avoid doing those things. It might be you got to pick out the right clothes for the people that you're going to see that day. If you're a teacher, you're going to want to make sure, if you're allowed to wear a t-shirt and jeans on a dress-down day, go for it. But you need to do the right thing. You have to groom. Guys, we have to shave, most of us. Ladies, you want to make sure everything is in place, right? Hair care, makeup, you know the drill. You wouldn't want to head out the door without taking care of those details, right? Have you ever driven on a weekday morning, and you stop at a traffic light and the person behind you is busy either shaving or putting on their makeup, getting the mascara just right, praying that the light doesn't change, or if it does change, they don't care? I mean, they have to be ready, right? For many of us, a lot of those things are not optional, and there's no room for excuses, and it's not when and if we like it. These are have-to-do things, and rightly so. We need to be prepared. What Jesus was talking about in today's Holy Gospel is preparing your spiritual care plan. I'm not going to ask you if you have one, but I want you to hear what I have to say. In order for us to be spiritually healthy and to spiritually grow, we need to be reading the Holy Scripture. We need to be reading the Gospel, the Bible, the Psalms, whatever that you'd like to be starting your day with. And it's not just once in a while, but every day. That doesn't mean you need to read a chapter a day, but open your Bible and read it. You know, some people have devotionals, like Jesus Calling, which is based on Scripture, and even has the Scripture for that reading for that day. That's getting in the Word. However you can do it, get in the Word of God. And like the physical things I just said, I spoke about that we need to have to do before we get going, this needs to be done for our own good. Not when and if you feel like it. There should be no room for excuses. We need to be prepared. Now that might make some people uncomfortable, but that's my job, to speak the truth, to tell you the hard things that we need to be ready for when the Messiah comes. Now, we should be in church every Sunday, and I'm speaking to the choir here today, who you're all here on Sunday, praise the Lord, and thanks be to God. We need to be in community with other believers, in fellowship with other believers, receiving the Word of God and His spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ, to enrich us and nourish us for the coming week, so that we can deal with the stuff that'll be coming at us in the days each week. I know there's a pandemic, But I see pictures of people at sporting events or out in restaurants, but they're not in church. Once again, it should not be when we feel like it. Each one of us needs to take extreme ownership of this. We need to be prepared. Well, there are some who have medical needs and meet me on the porch between 12 and 12:30 for Holy Communion, or I will bring it to them as they ask me to. But it just makes me wonder. Again, it might make some people uncomfortable, but that's my job. I need to speak the truth. It's important. There is not one of us who is faultless in our spiritual care plans. Sometimes we make excuses. I'm too busy. I have an appointment, and I got this and that. So if you can't do it first thing in the day, how many of us have cell phones? Do you know that there's Bibles online that you can have as an app on your cell phone? And you can read the Bible when you get a chance? It feeds you. It directs you. It nourishes you. It guides you. After all, it is God's word. If the doctor tells you that you have to do things in order to live, and that it's non-negotiable, what would your response be? Would it be, I want to get a second opinion? Well, that can be a good thing. It shouldn't be our original knee-jerk reaction. When you know that you know that you know that you should be doing something. Or would it be, I don't need that. Or would it be, I have to admit, I need to do this, and I'll need love and support to get it done, each and every day, and each and every Sunday. It's time for a checkup from the neck up, for us to assess our spiritual lives. And if that might make you uncomfortable, whether you're here in church or you're online, that's my job. Jesus has given each of us a diagnosis. His diagnosis and his prescription to be prepared for each and every day and for the day when he comes again. And my dear friends, there should be no room for excuses. We need to be prepared because you do not know the day or the hour. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.